Okay. All right, this is being recorded, so thank you everyone for joining. And we are learning a Kol B'Seder, which we'll review starting today for over the next number of months till we finish all 63 Masechtas of Mishnayos. And that we're starting, of course, with Brachos. And this is in memory of Yosef Binyamin ben Menachem Mendel, Joan Newman, a dear friend, and may his family be blessed with many years to memorialize him and have many opportunities to do so. We're starting with Maseches Brachos, and the word bracha means blessing. The purpose of the Masechta is that to teach us that life is blessed. We find our blessings, you know, everything that's blessed in our lives when we recite a blessing to God. God does not need the blessings of the human being in order to be God. It's just that by acknowledging, especially in the morning when I contemplate that I can see, that I have hands that work, that I have feet that work, that I can just do simple tasks, that I acknowledge the blessing of such a thing. Would anyone listening to these words sell their eyesight now for $1 million? Of course not. You wouldn't sell a finger for $500,000. You wouldn't sell your foot for $3 million. So the key is to concentrate on all the blessed things in life. And by saying these, especially in the morning, usually shuls say them the first thing in as part of the Shacharis davening, it shows how life is blessed and how we take advantage of acknowledging that on a regular basis. So when in the ancient world, and even to this day in our Trilos, when you blessed your God, you bowed down. Like we say, when we say Baruch Hu, we say blessed you, and we bend over. The word Berech in Hebrew means knee. In a language, body parts always come out the earliest etymology. So to describe a blessing, we took the same etymology of the word for knee. So a Berech became Bracha. So it's etymologically connected to show that we and it turns to the point I'm making that teaches life is blessed. The laws of actual blessings have to wait till the sixth parak in Maseches Brachos. There are only 9 prakim, and the first 5 prakim are dedicated to the first 3 Kriyat Shema, the Shema that we say in the evening and in the morning, and Tefillah and prayer, which we say which is the fourth and the fifth parak. So the first 5 prakim then move into the actual blessings we make over, especially over food, and then we'll see more in the seventh, eighth, and ninth parak. But first we start with the idea of Kriyat Shema at night and during the day. We start with the laws of Kriyat Shema at night, because the pasuk says b'shachbecha uvkumecha, you should recite these words in the evening and in the morning. And the Gemara says that the Jewish day starts at night, so the Masechta teaches the laws of Kriyat Shema at night first. And there is a dispute, however, in the Gemara over whether these words v'hayu hadvarim ha'ele asher nochim etzavcha hayomal levavecha, these words should be on your heart, v'shinantam levanecha, teach them to your children, right? When you're walking on the path, you should teach these words and learn, study these words. So, one opinion says that this refers to these very words, and that's the opinion that Kriyat Shema is a Torah commandment. The Torah wants you to say these words each and every day. However, there's another opinion in the Gemara. Tosfos holds from the second opinion. Rambam holds from the first opinion. The second opinion is that when the Torah says you should study these words when you're walking, when you're coming, when you're going, when you're sleeping, when you're lying down, when you're walking, when you teach them to your children, it doesn't mean these exact words. It means words of Torah. It's when you study Torah, then do so wherever you're going. When you're walking with someone in the street, say words of Torah. When you're waking up in the morning, say words of Torah. When you're ready to go to sleep, before you go to sleep, say words of Torah. Right, so we fulfill that by saying words of Torah on something called Kriyat Shema Alamita. Right before we go to sleep, we say words of Torah, so that the Torah is following us wherever we go, and we write them on our doorposts, so that we can see the words and contemplate the words of Torah as we come and as we go, and we tie them around our arms. We take Torah wherever we are. So, but however, the opinion of the Rambam is that these actual words, these very words that make up these statements, and those words appear first in Parshas Va'eschanan, and then they appear again in Parshas Ekev in plural. And then the rabbis decided to include a third chapter referencing tzitzis because it mentions a significant amount of that chapter is dedicated towards the end to Yetzias Mitzrayim, to the daily mitzvah of remembering the redemption from Egypt. All of these, and we're saying so many mitzvahs all at the same time, comprise the three chapters of what's called Kriyat Shema. The second Mishnah talks about the mitzvah of saying Kriyat Shema in the morning. And the times for those things, while they're day and night, as far as the halacha is concerned, are given signs. When the Kohanim come in to eat their holy food, if they were ritually impure during the day, so just as the Kohanim rush in to eat their holy food, it's a mitzvah to do so, so too we shouldn't put off davening Maariv. We should daven the first chance we get. So unless we have a specific minyan that meets at a specific time, but we should preferably daven Maariv the first chance we get. And Shacharis is given a time based on seeing a friend at a certain distance or seeing differentiating between colors and shades of blue, so that we apply these times to say Kriyat Shema, to daven Shacharis and Maariv, to mitzvahs. To the mitzvah of the Kohanim eating truma and the mitzvah of tcheles, the mitzvah of the blue color that we put into the tzitzis, and friendship and seeing our friend from a close distance and recognizing who that person is, even though it's still pitch black outside and starting to get light. So these are the times where it's time to start davening in the morning. So then the Mishnayos speak of the blessings that accompany the Kriyat Shema. And then we added additional prayers, introducing the tefillah called Psukei Dezimra. And this comprises pretty much the first chapter of Maseches Brachos. And then it talks about the daily mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. The first Mishnah is in plural, Korin. Vilna Gaon says that teaches that each and every one of us, Korin means each and every Jew has to say Kriyat Shema, but B'shachar Mevoreich in singular, because you can rely on hearing the words of the Chazan, the Shliach Tzibur, and in the Sfarda community, that's why they recite, the Chazan says, everything out loud for the sake of the people who might not have a sitter or might not know how to daven. They just listen and they fulfill their obligation. But Kriyat Shema has to be actually said by everybody. The Gemara suggests that to fulfill the din of B'shach B'chal Kumecha, we might fulfill it with the amazingly the prophecies of Bilam, but it was too long, so we couldn't say Kriyat Shema in such a all of Parshas Balak on a regular basis. Rashi asks, right? The Gemara asks, what was so special about the prophecies of Bilam that should fulfill Kriyat Shema? And Rashi says because of one pasuk, Korah Shochav Ka'ari Uchalavi Miyikumun, that we rise in the morning like a lion, like the opening lines of the Shulchan Aruch. That we should be like certain animals that are rushing to do what they do, and they're so enthusiastic and they jump. So should we jump to do mitzvahs, not be afraid of anything that stands in the way, just jump to do mitzvahs. By the time we're up for just 1 hour or so, we've done so many mitzvahs already. We've said so many brachas. There's some accountings that just by the regular liturgy of the davening in the morning and the mitzvahs of tzitzis and tefillin, and Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, we've done about 30 mitzvahs in the first hour of the day, right? That's B'shach B'chav Kumecha. That's great. Okay, so then that comprises the first chapter. The second and third chapter speak about the kavana, the intention that we're supposed to have when we daven, and the various interruptions we're allowed to make during davening and the interruptions we shouldn't be making during davening, and some of the pturim, the dispensations for people who are in mourning, or they have to be up a tree and or on a scaffold, that certain dispensations for that where they can daven in such a situation. And then the third parak speaks of the cleanliness and the environment, the ritual purity that we must engage in order to be worthy to daven. We shouldn't be davening if we have an upset stomach or pain and things of that sort. And we should take care of those things first. Tikkun haguf, we fix the body before we can fix the soul. And indeed, the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Bilvavi mishkan evne." We make a sanctuary out of our very bodies. First thing we do in the morning, we wash our hands, just like the Kohanim. The first thing they did in the Mishkan was to wash their hands from the Kiyor. And then we clean out yesterday's ashes from the korbanos, the sacrifices that were brought the day before in the sanctuary. So too, we clean out the ashes. But so basically, you know, the yesterday's food has to be cleared out, and we say Tehillas Yadayim, and then we say Asher Yotzar. So that's like the Truma Sedeshin, the cleaning out the yesterday's korbanos. And then we say the next two things were the Tamid and the Ketores, the daily sacrifice in the morning, and then the incense. And that's the daily sacrifices. We start learning Torah, Tamid every day, right? And then Ketores is like Elokai Neshama. We recognize that we can smell incense, and that goes right to the Neshama. When the Gemara asks, how do we know that we make a bracha even on smelling something? The answer is because the neshama gets the benefit from smelling that. The fourth and the fifth chapters talk about the laws of tefillah, of prayer, and the times with which we pray. That chapter begins with the laws of shacharis, because when it comes to prayer, whether prayer is from Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov, Avram Davin Shacharis, Yitzchok Davin Mincha, and Yaakov Davin Marav, all with various psukim that prove these things in Sefer Bereishis, and or the prayers are according to the sacrificial order. There's a morning sacrifice for Shacharis, there's an afternoon sacrifice for Mincha, and then Mariv drags along because the Mincha offering was burnt on the altar, perhaps all night even. So that's Mariv. That's why we tend to daven Mincha and Mariv together, because Mariv is basically leftover Mincha, right? But because there's no specific sacrifice for Mariv, if it's a very long afternoon, like in the summertime, the Mincha sacrifice was finished by nighttime. Certainly on Friday night, they wanted to do that. That's manifest by davening Mariv a little earlier than nightfall, right? But because Mariv doesn't have its own korban, so we don't have a repetition of the Amida in Mariv, because it's not on the same level as the korbanos of Shacharis and Mincha. If you want to say, why does Yaakov get the short end of that stick? It could be that even when Yaakov, where we learn that Yaakov davened Mariv, is from a time where he was in flight from his brother Esav, and maybe he was released from his obligation to daven under those circumstances. Anyway, Mariv is not on the level of Shacharis and Mincha according to the strict halacha, but we've taken it upon ourselves, no doubt, to daven Mariv just as much as Shacharis and Mincha. The sixth parak talks about the blessings we make over food. The higher the blessing is, because it covers fewer foods. The highest bracha, of course, is motzi, then mizonos, then bre'priya gefen, whether it's, even though that covers less foods than grains, grain is on a higher level because it's the same stuff as the motzi. And then bre'priya gefen, and then bre'priya eitz, overall fruits, then bre'priya adama, because adama is more encompassing. It covers even fruits. If someone accidentally made a bracha of bre'priya adama on an apple and started eating it, he's covered. Got the bre'priya adama covers. And then shahako covers all brachas. Not from at the outset. If we're not sure of a bracha, we should look up the halacha, call up someone who knows what bracha to make. We don't rely on shahakol before the fact, only after the fact. I've made a shahakol on a cookie. So, what did they do? I can't believe what I, right? So the shahakol covers, right? Okay, so those are the blessings we make before eating. And then we also make a blessing on smelling something, because the olfactory nerves pick up the smelling and it enters the body. But we don't make a bracha of hana'ah, a brachas hana'anin, on seeing a beautiful landscape or seeing a beautiful painting, or even, let's say, experiencing a beautiful back rub, or a massage or something like that. There's no bracha on that because it doesn't enter the body, right? Only brachas on eating and drinking and smelling. If there is a bracha to be made on seeing a beautiful landscape or the Grand Canyon or the Niagara Falls or a rainbow, those are not brachas hananim. Those are called brachas hashevach. Those are blessings of praise of God. Okay, which is really, I'm skipping to the ninth parak on that. The ninth parak contains all those blessings. The seventh parak talks about the bracha achrona, the brachas we make after we eat, and the bracha and benching, and the zimun, rabba sayin of arech. And the eighth parak talks about anything that has to do with meals, seuda, especially disputes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, and a lot of in situations regarding the tumah and tahara. It's probably the most difficult of the chapters of Maseches Brachos. And the ninth parak, parak haroeh, which is the brachas we make on seeing certain things. And it connects to this week's parsha, which I'll conclude with, which the Gemara says, how do we know that we make a bracha when we see certain things? And it's, we learn it from Yisrael. Yisrael made a bracha, but the parsha begins by Yishma. The Marsha says that the reason why he came was because of what he saw with the miracle of defeating Amalek and the miracle of the Red Sea, which he might have seen in the desert. But the miracle of Egypt, he only heard about, but we have to actually see the place in order to make that bracha. All kinds of brachas in that perek, and the perek actually has a large tangent on the dreams we see and how to interpret them. Those are very significant issues about the things we see and the things we interpret. So let's all interpret all the things we see in a positive way and recognize the incredible blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us and the miracles he performs for us. Shebechol eis erev avoke v'tzarayim. May we all have a blessed existence, a blessed life, a blessed day. And may Yosef Binyamin ben Menachem Mendel have an ilu neshama from all of our learning. And we'll continue on Thursday, Amir Hashem, with the next Masechta. We hope to see you then. Have a great day, everybody. Have a blessed day. Remember, Bronx.